It is going to be my honor to introduce to you JJ and Jessica Huizinga. How bad did I get it? You're lying, but I do appreciate that. They are missionaries from Central Asia or Eurasia. They are going to tell you exactly where I will butcher that so bad. I'm not even going to try. But we're thrilled that they're here, and they've been kind of hanging out in Colorado Springs the last several months. They're going to be heading back very, very soon in January, and we have been supporting them as missionaries longer than I've been here. We are actually talking in my office, and we think about 11 years. We've been supporting them. When Pastor Dave was here, that started, and has been kind of a really cool thing to be able to help them and support them through their ministry and through what they're doing. They're going to come and they're going to share what they're doing there in Eurasia and also share the word. And so I'm just excited. I really have been enjoying getting to know JJ and get to meet Jessica and their girls this morning a little bit more and be able to spend time with them. So I'm excited about what God has laid on their heart for us and excited for us to be able to continue to support them. The great thing about a missionary in a lot of ways is they're there and I'm not. And I mean that sincerely. But here's the deal. I mean, all of us have an important role to play in what God is doing in his kingdom and in his church, Big C Church. And, you know, to have them there and to be an extension of us and for them to be in the same way, in an opposite way, is just such a joy and such a cool thing. And here's the cool thing about this. We're going to get to hear a little bit this morning about how God is using them. And that's exciting. But, you know, one day when all this is done and we're just celebrating in eternity, we're going to get to hear story after story after story about how God used them and used what we were able to do and how we were able to help them to do that. And, man, it is going to be such a celebration, even more than it will be today. And so, again, we're very happy that they're here. Guys, if you want to come on up, we would love to welcome you. Thank you so much for being here. I'll let JJ introduce everybody, and then we'll turn it over to them.
Thank you.
Actually, let me have that one. You got that on.
Okay. Okay.
Jessica, do you want the microphone?
Yeah, that's great.
Yep. Sure. Good morning. It is really fun for us to be here with you this morning. We are the Huizingas. See, you did a good job. I'm Jess. This is JJ. Presley. Ruby is down, apparently having like the best time ever because we hear it's fun down there. And then we have a son, Carson, who is at his first year of college in Missouri, still recovering from that, but he's not with us today. I wanted to share really quick that I just had this moment in worship that I was just so blessed. As I was worshiping and I was closing my eyes and I was picturing our friends in Tajikistan that we worship with, just in the simplicity of gathering together like you do here, in the simplicity of worship, of just feeling so blessed by our time together worshiping the Lord, and just know that across the world, this is how people worship. And I was really blessed by that. So we have been in Tajikistan serving there for 11 years. And we are so grateful for the way that you have supported us and loved us all of those years.
Yeah, we couldn't do it without you. And you've been so faithful all these years and just done such a good job of supporting us. And I was just sharing with your pastor. Sometimes we use you as an example because over the years, it's been clear to us that you prioritize quality in supporting your missionaries and before quantity. And it shows because you really know your missionaries and you're really behind them. And we just thank you so much. It's an honor to be sent by you. And we're going to show you a video right now, and then I'll come back up.
Tajikistan is a Muslim country. It's a former It's a part of the former Soviet Union, and it is the poorest country in Central Asia. It's less than 1% Christian, and so it's very much a Muslim country. The population of Tajikistan is more of a rural population, so 2/3 of the people live in rural communities, and over half of people in Tajikistan gain their income in some way in a connection to agriculture. And so what's going to get us into people's homes, what's going to get us into people's lives? Agriculture is. And that started a process of just really looking at different needs in the agricultural sector and how that intersects well with being able to go into people's homes and rural communities. And then all along the way, we take every opportunity we can to share the gospel with those that had really no way other way to hear the gospel if we didn't go out and use agriculture to meet them and build a relationship with them.
Yeah, when we first arrived here 9 years ago, I was looking for somebody to help me learn how to work in the house with what was available here. I was looking for somebody to help me with language. And so I just really began to pray for a friend and a hard worker that we could hire to come into our home and help us. Somebody introduced me to a girl named Mark Shummer, and the first day she came to work, she said to me, "Do you know Jesus?" And I said, "I do." And that has developed into a really special friendship that I've been able to mentor her, and through her we've connected to multiple people in lots of different ways and branched out in ministry. I've had the joy of inviting some women from the villages into my home to do a Bible study with them weekly. And out of that has birthed a church that has just started in one of the nearby villages. And so it really is a team effort of reaching the different people and the different families and the villages near and far. Our kids love to go to the villages, interact with the kids, love on them, and have a heart for that.
All right, that is a great snapshot of what we do in Tajikistan, and it's a little bit outdated. Our kids get a little sick of seeing themselves from 2 years ago every Sunday, but it's okay, because they understand that it's a good way to tell you what we do, and so you can see more of what we do than if we just tell you. So good to be here. Again, we have been in Tajikistan for over 11 years now. And sometimes when we get together with other missionaries now, they say things like, "I don't know, why don't we ask the veterans?" And we're like, "What? What do you mean the veterans? We're the young people. We're the newbies, right?" That's what I mean. And then all of a sudden you're like, "Oh wow, it has been 11 years." And time goes by, and you know, I think all of us realize once we kind of get to middle age time, you can't get time back, and all of a sudden time becomes more and more valuable, right? And you know, being on the field for that time, you also start to think about Am I still on the same trajectory as I was when I left? Or am I still on the same trajectory as I was when I, you know, got a Bible school? Those kinds of things. And, you know, it doesn't help when you think about kind of that age aspect when, you know, your kids say things like, so were movies in color when you were a kid? And then we've noticed that when we wake up in the morning, a lot of times the first conversation is, how'd you sleep? Like, when did that become the first conversation of the day? Right? But as I get older and I think about, am I on the same trajectory, I start to notice that how people start is a lot, there's a lot less of a difference than how people finish. And that's what makes me get thinking about trajectory, right? Because, you know, when you have preschoolers, yeah, there's some differences, of course, you know, upbringing, those kinds of things, but kind of a preschooler is a preschooler, right? You know? But then you look 40 years down the road, and there can be a really big difference, right? And where people went from that point. And, you know, even when we look in the Bible, we see things like that, where we see all the people that came to the Lord in the book of Acts, they all started the same, right? But then as you see, as time goes on and the letters that some of the apostles wrote to churches, we start to see, yeah, they kind of went in different trajectories, didn't they? And even when we look at what we call the heroes of the faith in the Bible, the way they finished is not always ideal. In fact, more often than not, it's not ideal. And, you know, the thing about that is you can't just decide at the end of your life, well, okay, I want to finish well, right? It doesn't work like that, right? It's about the trajectory that you're on, right? And trying to keep that trajectory to finish well is something that we all deal with no matter what age we're at, right? Because ultimately, that trajectory that we're on tells us where we're going to end, right? And one piece of scripture that's really stuck out to me is Paul, at the end of his life, is sending a letter to Timothy, who has also gotten to a point in life of being around for a while in 2 Timothy. And he writes this in 2 Timothy 2, 1-7. A good soldier of Christ Jesus is the title of it. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Endure suffering along with me. Some versions say endure hardship. A good soldier of Christ Jesus, soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. So you have Paul, who's at the end of his life. And you have Timothy, who's been around a while. And then you have those that Timothy is training. And Paul says to everybody, this is how you endure with me. This is how you finish well, no matter where we're at in life. And then he gives us three pictures to help keep us on the right trajectory so that we can finish well. And so I want to go through those pictures with us today. The first is what? A soldier. Now, if I want to finish well, I need to realize that I'm in a battle. When I made Jesus my Lord, that battle became more real, right? And all of us have felt that battle at some point. There's been times where it was very difficult. And of course, in those times, we call on God, right? We call on our commanding officer, the one who enlisted us. But the real test is when the battle isn't as obvious, when things aren't so hard. And who are we calling on then, right? And we've all seen the movies where soldiers are surprised, right? They went and, you know, playing a game, doing some kind of mischief, and all of a sudden the enemy comes, right? And they said, oh, why was I so distracted, right? And so what does this show us in how we finish well? It shows us that we need to please the one who enlisted. I need to please the one who enlisted me and not be distracted. So this spring, I went to an American doctor in Tajikistan, which is always nice when we have some American doctors in Tajikistan. We don't have to go somewhere else. Because I had a strange mole on my leg for a while. And I was a little bit alarmed when he said, you need to get to Dubai as soon as possible because you've let this go way too long. And maybe some of you have been in a situation like that. And the what ifs come into your head. And you don't know anything until you go through all the tests, right? So you're just left with the what ifs. Are we going to have to leave Tajikistan for treatment? Did this spread to other places? Now, fortunately, though I did have melanoma, it hadn't spread. But in the week or two where things were unknown, I realized that God was giving me a great gift. And he was showing me a lot of things that I needed to see. He supernaturally pulled me out of life and helped me see how life would have felt if things had been different. And in that time, all of a sudden, all my distractions became really clear. I could see what it would look like for me to live completely loyal to God and undistracted. And I wrote some things down in that time, and I just want to read it just like I wrote it in that time to you today. I wrote, things that matter for eternity are intercession, family, disciples, and witnessing. My heart will burn for those in crisis and understand their hurt, confusion, disorientation, and inability to go about their work. Oh, that I could be a shoulder to cry on. I will hold loosely to possessions and seek to empty myself of attachment to them. I will be someone who stops and deeply intercedes for people when asked. I will feel a sickness towards infatuation with news, politics, sports, and money. Oh, that I would keep that sickness. I will realize my need for others and be aware of their need for me. I will rid myself of offense, judgment, unforgiveness, and jealousy. And I will never find satisfaction in what seems to be judgment on others, but grieve the brokenness. I will meditate and pray the Word of God. I will not be hindered by work or task to the point of not hearing the Holy Spirit lead. I will be a simple man, unashamed to call people to God's truth. I will look for God's hand and the miraculous when things seem to be going wrong. And to die out loud would be a great gift, but even better, to live dead out loud. So that was kind of a long list, so apparently I was pretty distracted. But what a gift God gave me in that time to be able to see those things clearly, the distractions. Because now more than ever, I want to please the one who enlisted me and not just be distracted. And distractions can seem insignificant, but they are the beginnings of something more, and that's why we have to pay attention to them. They're the beginnings of us starting to say what we need instead of allowing God to tell us that. Same thing as Adam and Eve did in the garden, actually. Beginning to say, I deserve this. I deserve to be like this. I deserve to do these things. And we take our matters into our own hands. And we don't allow our commanding officer to tell us what the plan is. And that's the beginning of taking shortcuts, which is the second picture. The second picture of how we finish well is an athlete. Now, maybe this summer you watched the Olympics. We really enjoyed being in America for the Olympics because we didn't have to like try and figure out how to get it online, and or watch it in a different language where you don't have an English announcers and those kinds of things. So it was nice to be in America for the Olympics. So we tried to watch it whenever we got a chance. But now, imagine with me if they said to someone like Michael Phelps or Simone Biles, people who have worked so hard for so long, and they said something like this, you know, the rules, you know, those times that we pay so much attention to, are those really that important? I mean, I think we're just going to do away with all that. And the gold, silver, bronze, you just get a participation medal, okay? Because the important thing is that everyone finished, right? That's the important thing in the Olympics, right? Now, let me ask you this. Would you watch those Olympics? And if you were an athlete, would you train very hard for those Olympics? Probably not. And in life, God doesn't want us to just finish as believers either. He wants us to thrive. A group of us organized a half marathon in Tajikistan during COVID. And because we were had a fair amount of freedom in Tajikistan, but we couldn't leave. That was the thing. And so we organized this half marathon. And as the race came near, two of the people that had been training got sick, probably with COVID. And and they weren't able to run the race. I can't actually remember what their ailment was. But they started the race, because they weren't able to, they just ran up with us for a while, and then they stopped, and then they took a taxi to the end of the race. And then we were all there together, still. But as you can imagine, things were not as joyful for those who didn't run the whole race, right? It just felt a little different when you took a taxi to the finish line. And, you know, that's what this picture is about. Taking shortcuts in life, telling God that we need something and taking matters into our own hands. Those can be all kinds of different things. It'll take away from the celebration we have at the end of the race. Because how does this picture show us how to finish well? I have to live by God's word and don't take shortcuts in life. Live by God's word and don't take shortcuts in life. In Tajikistan, there are a lot of hardships, especially for the believers that we work with. And, what did I do here? And some who choose to follow Christ, sometimes they decide, you know, it's easier if I just follow Jesus but don't tell anyone about it. And we understand that. There's a lot of persecution that we don't have to deal with. But if they keep going down that road and they just keep Jesus secret, after a while, we find that they lose their joy, that joy they had when they first found Jesus. Then they become weak in their faith, and they begin to compromise. And after a while, they just walk away from Jesus. My early years in Tajikistan, I spent a lot of time discipling a young man who started out well, and he even stood up in the face of persecution so well. But something got him distracted and then began to cause him to compromise. And instead of obeying the Bible and the Holy Spirit, slowly his faith began to cool. And then he chose to return to Islam. And sadly, I haven't heard from him in years, and he changed all his phone numbers. Because if I want to finish well, I need to live by God's word and don't take shortcuts. I have a coworker. I think I have some slides. There he is, up there. I have a coworker who's from Tajikistan. He works with me in agriculture. He's older than me, and he's just this old farmer. He knows everything that why they do it the way they do, and so then I come and I, with my agronomy background, then I can tell him, and we're a great team that way. But we're also a great team in evangelism. Now, years earlier, during Tajikistan's civil war, he became a follower of Jesus and would share his faith when he would go out to the market. And he was very bold. And then one day, a guy came up to him, put an AK-47 up to his head, and said, "If I hear you talk about Jesus one more time, I'm going to kill you." So he went home, and he did what probably all of us would do. He said, "Well, I guess that's the end of me talking about Jesus, right?" Seems to make sense. And he went along that way for a while. But then, after a while, he would read his Bible and pray. And you read the stories of Acts and the Gospels. And something didn't feel right anymore. And he had lost his joy. And he realized, "I'm not living the kind of life God's word calls me to live." So he went back and he started sharing the gospel again. The threats kept on coming, but God protected him. And I love what he says about those times, because during the Civil War, things were very hard, just putting food on the table. And he'd say, "You know, we didn't have any money during that time. It was so hard to, you know, get by and put food on the table. We never had enough food to get full. But you know what is interesting? We always felt full because we were full of joy." And today in Tajikistan, the threats are not the same, but he hasn't taken his foot off the pedal. And we go out all over Tajikistan, and our philosophy is, you know what? I may never see this person again, so I'm going to make sure they get the gospel. And people get offended, people get upset, but at the end of the day, we know that we aren't going to have any regrets. And I hope 20 years from now, when I'm his age, like him, I live by God's word and don't take shortcuts. And this is where the last picture of how to finish well comes in, the farmer. Paul starts this section by saying, "Endure hardship and train others to do the same." And there are times in Tajikistan where you ask yourself, "I'm not really sure it's worth it." We're out there enduring hardship, we're training others, we're building them up, but man, it's just hard. And you know, in Tajikistan, farming is almost as hard as being a Christian. Every day in July, it's over 100 degrees. It doesn't rain in the summer. There's no irrigation, modern irrigation, so everything's by hand. Most of the weed control is by hand. And sometimes I just want to be that foreigner that just kind of watches, but instead I feel like the Holy Spirit asked me to go and help and get involved. And you sit there and you're like, "Man, I don't know if this is worth it." But you know when it is worth it? When you run that combine through a clean field and you have a harvest like we did this year that broke all the records. And the harder you worked, somehow the more satisfied it is when you bring that harvest in. And the same holds true for all of our lives. Why work hard? What's the point? Because I'm focused on the harvest. And the celebration at the end is going to be worth it all. So how do I finish well? Be hardworking and don't lose sight of eternity. That's what that picture of the farmer teaches us. A big part of the last 2 years of our time in Tajikistan has been leading a house church for a few mothers in a village near our city. There's some pictures of it there. The ladies' husbands are not Christians, so they can't bring their kids into the city where there's churches. So they asked us to go and help them do church when their husbands are at work. Convenient, right? And so, and their husbands know about it, but it's just easier when they're not there. And because they want their kids to be taught how to worship, how to study the Bible, how to pray. So that's what we do. We go and while their husbands are at work, and we pray, we read the Bible, we share about struggles. And now there's been another family of kids that has joined in, and sometimes we have almost 5 children to 1 adult, so it's almost like kids' church. But all of the kids, it seems like they are just so eager to study God's word and to learn more about Jesus. And it's been such an encouragement to see us bring, for God to bring, especially these kids from this family that we had never known, into our lives and see them profess their faith in Jesus. And we worship, like I said, we share our struggles, we pray for one another, and we study God's word. And sometimes, as we talk about the struggles, it can seem overwhelming. Because some, especially for these kids from this broken home, they endure a lot. Abuse, persecution, poverty, you name it. And especially for the girls who someday, most likely, they'll be married off to somebody who we hope and we pray, but maybe isn't a Christian. And for them, the future can feel kind of discouraging. It can feel kind of like they're trapped. And in these times, I find myself over and over going to the verses in the Bible where it talks about eternity, where it talks about keeping your eyes focused on eternity. And one of my favorite ways to do this is with an analogy from the roads in Tajikistan. In Tajikistan, there's a 3-mile-long tunnel, and that tunnel used to be a lot worse. It's been improved some now, but it's still pretty scary. There's almost no lights inside. It's full of exhaust, car exhaust, and smoke due to lack of ventilation. Water drips from the top of the tunnel, and sometimes you have puddles inside the tunnel where you can't even see what you're driving on, which tends to make it hard to see rebar that's sticking up that's going to puncture your tire. And there's even been trucks that have tipped over inside, and then you're stuck inside. And everybody knows about this tunnel, but it's the only way to get from the south part of the country to the north, so people use it. And I say to these people, you know that tunnel? When you're in that tunnel, how do you feel? And they say, oh, we feel trapped. It feels so dark, scary. It feels so easy to just focus on those things. Feels like that's all there is, right? And then I ask them, but what does it feel like when you see the light? When you first see that light appear through the smoke and all the way in the distance? And they say, oh, feels so good. Feels all of a sudden I feel so different. All of a sudden I forget about all the dangers, the darkness around me, because I just look at the light. And all of a sudden, things seem so different just because of that light. And I tell them, well, the Bible says that when we become followers of Jesus, we have a light at the end of our tunnel. And life is a lot like that tunnel. Being in heaven with Jesus is the light at the end of the tunnel. And he says that in heaven, there's no more sadness or pain. It's a big celebration with Jesus. And I tell them, so keep your eyes on the light at the end of the tunnel, eternity, and take as many people there with you as you can. Because when we see Jesus, it'll be worth it all. And I don't know where you're at in your faith, but like this passage tells us, the same is true for all of us, these three pictures. The same, it speaks to all of us and how we keep our trajectory where it needs to be. It keeps us on the right path to finishing well. So how do we finish well? We please the one who enlisted us and not be distracted. We live by God's word and don't take shortcuts. And we work hard and don't lose sight of eternity. I hope that's encouraging for you today, and I hope that it's encouraging as you partner with us and others in sending the gospel around the world. It's truly making a difference in people's lives, just like you see on this screen. So thank you so much for sending us. We couldn't do without you.
Thanks, bud. Wow. We're going to do something maybe a little bit different, but I think it's important that we do it. And one of the things that we talk a lot about around here is that God has called us to be a family. And one of the cool things about a family is there are those that in some ways are a part of your family that are close. Maybe you live close to them, or I know sometimes maybe as parents will get older and things like that, maybe they'll move in or whatever, or your kids and things like that. And then most families will have what is called kind of more extended families, and those family members may be living a little farther away, or maybe they're a second cousin or something like that. And when I think about JJ and Jessica and their family, there are extended family, and that's the way we look at them, and that's the way we look at all of our missionaries. Is they are people that are a part of this body of believers. They don't live here, but God is using them in mighty, mighty ways. And so before we kind of close the service out, I'd like to do something a little different. And if you feel comfortable, and I know many of you will, but I'm going to just have JJ and Jessica and Presley, right? Okay, good. I thought that was right. Ruby's downstairs. Presley, if you all would just stand where you're at, and if you feel comfortable, like, you know, Pastor Renee, Pastor Sarah, Emily, and anybody else, if you would just gather around them and lay your hands on them. We have a couple guys that would do that as well. We just want to pray over them and just once again, just kind of commission them. I know that they've been there a long time, but it's something special when we're able to, as a family, kind of have hands-on ministry and pray over them, that God would just continue to use them. So we're just going to do that together. If you are in your seat, that's completely fine. If you just want to reach a hand out, and we're just going to pray over them. Father, we love you and we thank you. And God, we thank you that you called your church to be a family. Father, as we've talked about over the last several weeks, even in the series that we've been in, Father, how you created your church to operate in this way. And Father, although JJ and Jessica and the kids are kind of a little bit away from us, they're still part of our extended family. And Father, we're so thankful that you have called us to partner with them. Father, for them to go where we can't go and make an impact for eternity. God, these aren't just little things. These are eternal impacts that, God, that you have called them to make, and that you've called us to partner with them to do that. And so, Father, I just pray for them. God, I pray that you would just continue to use them in mighty ways. Father, I pray that there would just be a new birth of revival in this area. That, Father, that people would just flock to you.
Father, that you would use them as you're using them in this way, that it would just open more and more doors. Father, I pray that they would just be blown away by what you do through them. That God, doors that they thought would always be shut, Father, in the name of Jesus, we proclaim that they would be open. Father, the people that would be, that they think about, and when they think about them, they think, boy, you know, I don't know if they're ever going to come to know Jesus. That, Father, literally, when they came, when they go back in January, that they would already know you because of the seeds that they had planted over the years. And, Father, that many, many more would come to know you. God, use them in a mighty way. Help them, Father. Encourage them. Be with them. And, Father, we just pray for souls. God, we pray for eternal impact so that, Father, as JJ shared, God, that we'll be there with lots of people with them, with us for eternity. We love you. We thank you. We thank you for this opportunity that we could come together as a family and celebrate what you are doing and look forward to what you're going to do, because you still are got great things. We love you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Thank you for praying. I do want to let you know of a couple things before we dismiss this morning. Number one, they do have a table out there. And if you would like to kind of look a little bit closer at kind of what they do and things, I want to encourage you to please stop by there and see that. Also to talk with them. Obviously, they probably have some amazing stories, and it's always nice to be able to really kind of put a face with a name back on our board there. And so if you would, you know, if you have some time to kind of chat with them, I think that would be awesome. Number three. Obviously, as a church, we support them every month through missionary giving and things like that. However, we would like to take a special kind of love offering for them. Now, if you would like to do that, there's really two ways that we can do this. Number one, obviously, is the old-fashioned way. You can pull out that little funny thing that you usually, some of us still carry around, called a checkbook. And you can fill that out. Please make all your checks out to Broomfield Assembly, but put in the memo line, JJ and Jessica. You don't have to try to write their last name. JJ and Jessica will work, you know. And then that way, all that is given will go to them. That's the first way. The second way is you can also give online. If you do that, which is fine, please just make sure you put in the memo or in the note area, JJ and Jessica, so that we know to get that money to them. And then basically what we'll do is we'll give it a little bit of time, and then as we give to them every month through the Assemblies of God, we can just take that and make sure all of that gets to them so that they can continue to be blessed and be used by God in that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray over that love offering. Again, if you have that and you want to do it the old-fashioned way, it's up here, right and left. If you would like to give online, please do that, and then, like I said, everything that's given will go to support them and their mission there. So let's pray over the offering, and then pray a prayer of dismissal, and then again, thank you so much for being here to celebrate with us this morning and to learn about what not just God is doing here in Broomfield, but literally all around the world, and I appreciate your faithfulness and giving so that we can make an impact. Father, we love you and we thank you. And God, we just are so blessed to be able to be here together to hear about what you're doing. Again, not just here, but literally around the world. Father, I pray that you would just continue to use JJ, Jessica, and the kids in what you've called them to do. And Father, we do pray a blessing over this love offering. God, I pray that it would not just meet their needs, but Father, that it would go above and beyond their needs. And that Father, it would just, I ask that you would just multiply it. And God, that you would just, that they would be in a situation where they could really focus in on what you've called them to do, and so they don't have to worry about these other things that are is important, but God, that is not quite as important as souls and working with the community there. So Father, I pray that you bless this offering. God, that you would just speak to each heart, God, on what to give as we bring this offering to you, first and foremost, to be used in this area of the world. We love you. Again, we do thank you for this opportunity to come together as a family. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Again, I hope you have a wonderful week. Remember, there's a lot of things coming up tonight and also with sign-up sheets, so please make sure you grab those and sign up for those things before you head out. For those that are online, we love you. We hope you're doing well. And if you would like to give, you can give online as well, so just remind you of that. And again, thanks so much for being here. Love you. Have a great week.